Following recording is copyright 2012 Catholic Diocese of Little Rock. All rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
Ever since the beginning of time, our world has been locked in a struggle between light and darkness. This struggle continues today in the conflicts between nations and individuals, and in the decisions we make in the intimacy of our own heart. It's that way now, and it was that way 2012 years ago when God sent us our Savior, whose light began to shine in the darkness of a cruel world into which he was born. A place ruled by an evil king who murdered even babies. 33 years later, the darkness did its worst to the baby born today and seemed to have extinguished the light completely. But 3 days after that, we saw once and for all that the darkness is unable to overcome the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, the light whose coming into the world we celebrate today. God became human on Christmas to open our eyes to the sacredness of the life that he has entrusted to us. Life belongs to God, not us. And we just have the use of it. And one day we will have to answer for how we have lived it. And everything that destroys life has two things in common: the false ideas that life is ours, not God's, and that we're better off doing our will rather than God's will. If life isn't sacred, who cares what we do? It was to open our eyes to the sanctity of life at all stages of existence that Jesus took on the human condition in all of its brokenness, so as to lift us up out of the pitiful state into which we had fallen. Regarding the sanctity of life from the first moment of conception, perhaps the most obvious point from Christmas, we have Mary, the teenage mother who chooses life, even though to all outward appearances she seemed to have conceived that child out of wedlock. How many people do you think believed her story about a visit from the Archangel Gabriel? She welcomed that life, even though she had to give birth under very difficult circumstances, in poverty, on the road, in a filthy barn, possibly without a midwife, an inconvenient pregnancy if there ever was one. Notice the stark contrast between Mary and King Herod, who murdered the baby boys of Bethlehem because he was afraid one of them might upset his plans. Which of these two do we as a nation more resemble, Mary or Herod? Many of our fondest memories from childhood are about Christmas. And we say Christmas is especially a feast for children. Yet as a nation, we're schizophrenic. Like Mary, we cherish the children we have welcomed into our families. But like Herod, we as a nation dispose of those whose arrival we find inconvenient. Over 54 million in the last 39 years. But it doesn't stop at the beginning of life. Life is sacred throughout life. And so we have very soon the story of the Holy Family fleeing to Egypt to protect and provide for this precious life that God has entrusted to them, even though they had to do so without authorization. After all, they were fleeing the king. In our own country, we see this same struggle between light and darkness being played out at every stage of life across the entire spectrum of issues in the public square. For instance, access to health care has sanctity of life implications. So also does taxation and whatever decisions we end up making regarding the fiscal cliff. How that will affect the poor, the elderly, on fixed incomes, that matters. And of course, immigration, about which I've spoken at length on other occasions. Also, our involvement in wars, all the lives that are lost on both sides of any conflict, and madmen with assault weapons, and how to prevent more atrocities like we suffered recently in Newtown, Connecticut. And educational opportunities for all, including those from low-income families and those who came here as children who have few, if any, memories of the country in which they were born. These and many other issues that bear on human rights and on the dignity of the human person are sanctity of life issues. We are called to be pro-life at every stage of life, not just at life's beginning and life's end. And regarding the sanctity of life at the end of life, we have the fact that 33 years later, another foreign government, the Roman procurator Pontius Pilate, who also claimed the power to dispose of life as he saw fit, will execute the boy born today for being, again, inconvenient, according to him, a threat to society. Sadly, in this, we more resemble Pilate than we do Jesus. I see this whenever I visit death row, and even worse, euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide, which is now legal in Oregon, Washington State, and Montana. Other states may follow. As far as we Americans are concerned, once a life becomes burdensome to society due to crimes committed, or burdensome to an individual due to illness, it somehow ceases to be sacred and can therefore be disposed of at will. That is the opposite of the message of the baby that the baby born today came to bring. On Christmas, a new chapter in the struggle between light and darkness begins. The truth that life is sacred at all stages of existence because it belongs to God, versus Satan, who tempts us with lies to live it however we want and suffer the consequences. 2012 years ago, the true light, which enlightens everyone, came into the world. As Christians, you and I are called to be Christ living and active in our world today, meaning that his light should shine forth through us to enlighten the dark world in which we live, especially in our country, where at present life is not held to be sacred at any stage of existence, not even innocent life, for which we as a nation and those of us who do nothing to set it right will one day have a lot to answer before the judgment seat of God, especially our politicians. In the beginning was the Word, and all things came into being through him, and without him nothing came into being. What came to be through him was life. And this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.